It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
I don't think you want to see this. I'm actually doing you a favor.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Jorge Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks, as always, for making your way here and checking out the series. Of course, you know what to do. If you like what you see, what you hear, hit that subscribe button. But at three new interviews every single week, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover the new ones at Spotify and Apple Podcast, at NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Recent episodes have included my conversations with Kara Jackson, the band Daughter. Talked about the movie Extraction 2 with Golshifteh Farahani and producer Sam Hargrave. I've also had country star Carly Pierce on here. Josh Homme of Queens of the Stone Age. John Roberts, the voice of Linda Belcher on Bob's Burgers. We had Dave Davies of The Kinks, Stone Gossard of Pearl Jam, and the band Inhaler. That's just a few of the recent episodes here on the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, Esty Hyam. We're going to be talking about soundtracking the new Hulu and Disney Plus series called A Small Light. In fact, she's the executive music producer. So we're going to get into her work as TV and film composer on projects like Made and Cha-Cha Real Smooth and White Lotus, which she scored the second season for and even said she plans on being a part of future seasons, really in any way she can, even if they don't hire her. And we'll be talking about what makes A Small Light such a special series. Now, this is the series that tells the story of Anne Frank, but from the perspective of Meep Geese. Now, Esty goes on to talk about bringing on Sharon Van Etten, Phoebe Bridgers, Angel Olsen, Kamasi Washington, among others, to cover songs from the 40s as part of the soundtrack to A Small Light, and actually her own sister, Danielle Hyam, to cover the song Till We Meet Again that airs in the pilot episode. Esty also lets us know, in fact, that Hyam are back to work on writing their next album, and we'll have a song on the upcoming Barbie soundtrack, as well as the preparation and expectations for their upcoming opening slots on the Taylor Swift Eras Tour. All that and more. We're talking about A Small Light. It's Kyle Meredith with Esty Hyam.
Oh, what an amazing Prince poster.
It's actually the calendar from 2020 when I left my office, and I just kind of left the calendar up. That's it's my relic.
What a good one.
Yeah, no, that is the thing. It's like, I mean, I could put up any other thing on this calendar, but one, it's kind of fun because that's when I finally did leave the office that year and just started working from home. But two, it's fucking Prince. So
is that March 2020?
No, that was June. I was able to stay around here a little bit longer because no one else was here. And
okay.
Yeah, so it was, but at that point, by the time June finally came around, I was like, what the fuck am I doing? I'm just going to stay at home. Like, it, you know, because I think if because we some of us waited it out a little bit, like, what's going on, you know?
I know that. I mean, it was such a confusing time. I mean, to be honest, June 2020 was when we released Women in Music Part 3. So I think that was also the time where everyone was like, okay, we're in it for the long haul. We thought this might be over by April. Not happening.
Not so much.
I know. Like, what a crazy time.
Oh, man. Good morning.
Good morning. Top of the morning to you.
It's good to have you on here. I know we've done these phoners a few times over the years. And God, I was actually thinking the first time we ever did an interview was it when you guys played Bonnaroo the first time. So it's actually been a little bit of time 14. Here and there. Yeah.
Coming up on 10 years.
Look at that.
Wow.
And we both look exactly the same as we did 10 years ago.
Actually, I think we look better.
It's probably true. It's probably
better.
True.
I've only been getting better with age. That's what that's the story that I'm sticking to.
That's a good story. Like, why would you stick with the other story? Like, fuck.
Yeah, that would be depressing. Jesus. No, I'm just getting better. And I'm just getting started.
You know, that seems like a good point to get into this real interview here, because I feel like that's hurtly true. So I'm just going to roll right into this, because one of the things we're talking about today is you are the executive music producer on the soundtrack to A Small Lights, which is now out on Hulu and Disney Plus. And this is like, I mean, you've carved out really a career for yourself, because this comes on the hill. Let's see. Stop me if I'm missing anything, but you scored Made, Cha-Cha Real Smooth. You're part of the Do Revenge music. You're So Not Invited to My Bar Mitzvah. You're the music consultant for White Lotus. I mean, this is really like your second career, your other career. Maybe it's your first career and Haim's your second career. What's going on?
No. Haim will always be my first career. Danielle and Alana would literally smother me in my sleep if I didn't say that, first of all. Secondly, no, I think that, you know, I think this, you know, being able to be a composer, I think it goes hand in hand with being a touring musician and an artist. I think that, like, I don't think it's like that big of a stretch. I think that a lot of musicians naively go into this thinking that it's going to be easy. You know, like, I'm a musician, I write music, I can do it for film. That's the part that I think is a misconception. But I think that, you know, being a composer is so much fucking fun. You're basically, it's your job to service this magical thing that's on screen. And I feel lucky in a lot of respects, but mostly lucky that people trust me with their babies, like their films. And they trust me with it and trust that I'm going to, you know, service what's going on screen, but also to be additive. You know what I mean?
Like, I'm a soundtrack collector. I don't want to use a term like I'm a soundtrack nut or something like that. But just in the sense that, like, there's always been something about that, right? The meeting of music and movies. And I think a lot of people probably feel that way, but they don't go far enough down the rabbit hole to understand why. But there is that part of the magic, like, as you're saying, to be part of that magic. It seems like the cherry on top, if you could pull it off, of a successful career.
Yes, agreed. I mean, I think the times that I've cried the most have been really, really pivotal moments in movies. Because of the music, though. Not just like there's this dramatic thing happening on screen, but it's not that usually the thing that tugs at my heartstrings. It's the music that's happening while the scene is, you know, going on. So to be a part of that too, and to be able to, you know, not in a, I mean, in a weird way, I guess composers are sort of manipulative, because but it's not also not our job to tell people how to feel. So it's a night. It's, you have to find the right balance of, like, I still want to be emotional, or I still want to be comical, or I still want to be, you know, dramatic, but I don't want to knock people over the head with it. So that's been my learning curve, because it's not like I, you know, people go to school for composing for years, and that's not lost on me. And speaking of being additive, I want to add to the art form. I don't want to take anything away from it at all. If I'm going to do this, I want to, you know, do the art form justice. And that's not lost on me. And I don't take that lightly. So yeah, I want to do a good job.
And we'll be right back right after this.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Esty Hyam.
I don't remember exactly how old you are. I know we're close to the same age somehow, but or one way or the other, however the math works out. But so I'm 41. Like, we grew up in the era of John Williams when we talk about, you know, music and movies. Like that's the bar. Like, that's where it starts or ends, or however you look at that. But like, you when you get into this, obviously, on one side of things, you are coming from, you know, pop songwriting, and I use pop in the very, very broadest term. Like, what was that transition like for you? What was that learning curve for you?
I went into, well, the first thing that I ever composed, like wrote music for screen for, was Made, like you mentioned. And that was also like, I had like my initial conversations about that project in June of 2020, and such a pivotal time for both of us. I have a friend who's a producer, and we'd been talking before the pandemic about this TV show called Messy. It wasn't called Messy in America. It was called something else in America, but it was a TV show for Netflix that I was an uncredited music consultant for, that I just helped my friend kind of figure out how to tell the composer, like, the kind of music that he wanted for the show. And I was kind of like a composer whisperer for my friend. And I was telling my friend, Brett Hedblum, who was the producer on Made, kind of what I did. And Brett was like, hey, can you do that for this TV show that I just did called Made? I'll send you the pilot. Let me know what you think. Sends it to me. I give him notes. And then literally like within the hour of me giving the notes, he goes, what if you just did the music? And I was like, I mean, I've never done it before, Brettles. Like, yeah. But like, I hope we're clear. Like, I've never composed for TV and film before. And he was like, you'll figure it out. And I was like, you know what? You're right. I will figure it out. You're so right. And I met Christopher Stracy through Tobias Jessup Jr. I kind of set up the bat signal because I knew that I wasn't going to be able to do this by myself. And Toby was basically like, oh, I have the guy for you. His name's Christopher Stracy. You guys are going to get on like a house on fire. And we did. We had our first play date with Tobias, like literally like the dad, like overseeing to make sure everything was okay. And we demoed the music for the pilot that day, turned it in, and then we got the job. So my transition was basically blind faith. I just, you know, I have this saying, people that say yes have adventures, people that say no play it safe, and people that say maybe spend their whole life saying maybe. Think of Hamlet, to be or not to be. So like, I tend to say yes, even when I don't necessarily know how I'm going to do it. but I just do it.
That's the way. But you're right. I mean, if you're going to have a career, that's the way.
Yeah, I think so. And it was the same thing with like White Lotus. Like my friend was like, do you want to come to Sicily for a couple weeks and help with music, basically? And I was like, yeah. I mean, it was a more complicated, it's a way more lengthy story, but that's basically what happened. And I said, yes. And then I got to spend, you know, a bunch of time in Italy on set.
Are you still a part of that? Like, do you move on to part three? Are you helping out there?
I mean, I will definitely be going to set. I don't know. I mean, I was like, I was talking to Dave about it, and I was like, and you understand now that like every season from now on, I will be coming to visit. Like there's no two ways around that.
Sure. No, you've got the credentials now. That's the fob needs to still work whenever.
Sure. I've got some kind of like White Lotus badge, I'm sure.
So this all runs into A Small Light, which isn't just a project. This seems like more than just, and you know, no disrespect to any of the ones that you've been part of in the past, but this, on top of it just being, you know, with a great company and, you know, it's going to be seen by a lot of people, this heavy subject matter on top of this is another telling of the Anne Frank story and everything that goes along with it. Where did this one come on? Where did this one come from? How did you sign on? And I guess, what does it mean to be a part of it?
Well, I actually came onto the project a little later than I probably normally would have. I got a call from the producers, and basically the second they told me that it was about Meep Geese, I was like, oh, I'm in. I grew up kind of being obsessed with Anne Frank. In a weird way, when I was a kid, I thought I was Anne Frank, because in the book, she talks about kind of her window to the outside world were these church bells. And the house I grew up in was next to a church, so I would hear the church bells. And then, like, as a totally, like, psychotic 8-year-old, I'd be like, oh my God, Anne Frank and I, like, oh my God, she hears church bells, I hear church bells, like, we have so much in common. Like, okay.
That's all it takes when you're that young.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, exactly. I mean, I had a very, very vivid imagination. And so I'd read the book multiple times, and I knew how integral Meep was to the story. And talk about her window to the outside world, Meep was also her window to the outside world. And, you know, I loved the idea that the way into the story of Anne Frank was through Meep's eyes. And on top of everything, I think it's such an important story to tell. So I jumped at the chance to work on the project. And essentially the brief was, and this also the reason I wanted to do it is because the brief was basically, we're going to take classic songs, classic pop songs, really, from the 30s and the 40s, or around that era, and we're going to get modern artists to cover them. And that was it. And the producers were like, and you can have carte blanche, you can do them however you want. They were very, again, trusting with me, which I very much appreciated. So yeah, and then it was kind of off to the races. I'm really, really lucky that everyone I asked to participate said yes. So that made my job that much easier. And I kind of put together this team of producers to also help me execute these songs, because we didn't have that much time. So a lot of the songs, a lot of the artists were making these songs at the same time. So I had the help of Zach Dawes, who has worked with Sharon Van Etten and Angel Olsen, and also Lana Del Rey. And then Ethan Griska, who's also worked with King Princess and Remy Wolf, and also Phoebe Bridgers. And so, and then Rostin Bot-Mungleish, who my sisters and I have worked with on our last two records.
Love Rostam.
Love Rostam. He's the best. And yeah, so I decided that I didn't want to, the example I've been giving is like, I didn't want to do like a four on the floor disco version of like Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy. Like
right.
I wasn't trying to like, you know, I don't know. That was just not my MO. I wanted to keep it really classic, but with modern instruments and with a modern, you know, spin still, but just really beautiful vocal performances and having these artist vocals be the thing that really shines. And again, I also chose artists that I knew could handle the material, because the material is also not easy. And everyone that signed on to do the project has these incredible vocals and are so incredibly, their voices are also incredibly I would say unique. I mean, you listen to like artists like Waze Blood, you listen to Natalie, you listen to that version, and it's heartbreaking. Like, her voice is just out of this world.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Esty Hyam.
Kind of doubling down on what you're saying, like there is a consistent mood with all of them. And that's, I don't know if it's surprising, but it's definitely noticeable as an album, you know, to say it in that way. Like, you know, just hearing, you know, you have to know this music. And I don't know your background. I know you grew up with these songs too. Like, I lived with my great grandma for a while. I knew my great great grandma for a little while. Like, you know, they were young adults when this music, you know, so it was just all around. And to hear how you kind of put your own spin, I don't know if that's the right way to say it, but the mood on it is so beautiful. I mean, you're talking about the vocal performances and you're correct, but even musically speaking and just how this album works together, like I just love the sound of it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, I looked at it also like an album. I mean, that's probably the artist in me coming out, but also being cognizant of the mood of the end of every episode, and also trying, again, not to hit people over the head with like either like this is sad, this is dramatic,
right,
but also like keep, because there are elements of comedy in this show as well, which I also appreciated, you know. And there have been so many different iterations of this story on screen, and I appreciated the fact that the producers, you know, did have a bit of levity, even though it's a terrible, heartbreaking story, but like there were moments of comedy and there were, you know, tacit comedy. And I also wanted to have a little bit of that within the Kamasi Washington song, like, you know, Charlie Parker and Bebop. And, you know, it was as much as it was a really, really intense, dire, scary time, so much amazing, lively music came out of it.
When I saw that you had that Sharon was doing I Don't Want to Set the World on Fire, I thought, oh, wait, are they going to do the spoken word on this? Because whoever lands that, and Michael Imperioli,
I mean,
that was one, yeah, of my, I mean, when we look back, especially at that decade, at that era, at that genre, you know, that was when you got to the bridge, you did the speaky part. And it's one of the funniest parts of pop music, I think, that, you know, ever existed. And I don't know why I find it so funny, but it's still so funny to me. I'm so happy that you incorporated that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had just come off of, I had just gone to like the White Lotus premiere, and I was lucky enough to become friendly with Michael. And right when I heard that part, I was like, oh, like that's a no-brainer. Like the biggest no-brainer ever. And actually, I love spoken word parts. It's like, I'm a huge, huge Boys to Men fan.
Uh-huh. Right, right. They carried the tradition. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I love it. I love
baby.
It.
Baby. Everything had to start, of course, baby.
Baby. You know. Oh, yeah. I love it.
So, you know, you've got the guest list, sure, but and these songs, were there specific reasons why you chose these specific songs?
Well, the way that I went about it with the artists was I was kind of going back and forth with them on song choice. I didn't want to necessarily be like the, I don't know, I'm really into collaborating. I like being able to, I mean, I do it in Fime all the time. So that's really what I'm used to. So what I was doing was kind of sending songs back and forth with the artist and being like, well, what do you think about this one? Like, we could do this artist. We could do that. What do you think about this song? Like, and that really also just came from me going back into my arsenal of knowledge when it came to these songs and like rediscovering songs and, you know, going down the rabbit hole of for different artists. And so it was very, it was a really collaborative process. The only song that I was having trouble with was the pilot song. That song was written in like 1912. It was actually written for World War One, not World War Two, but it was technically still period. And it like most songs from those, that era, it had been covered in like the 30s and the 40s, but it was originally, it was written in 1912 or 1913. And when I found that one, and again, I wasn't looking for it necessarily. I found the cover of it. And then I heard the original. I was like, oh yeah, this is the one. And yeah, Till Me Meet Again was, I was like, this has to be the song for the opening.
And it is, it's beautiful. And it all works so beautifully.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm very proud of that one as well. And the fact that my sister is the one singing it is also special for me.
Which, you know, might lead into the other parts. What's next for Chaim? Because again, 2020. So Win a Music Part 3, I know you're out there touring right now. I mean, have you all been working on anything?
Yeah. I mean, we're always writing and we're always, you know, trying to stay creative. We have a song coming out on the Barbie soundtrack. I believe that's coming out in a couple weeks. And then we go on tour with Taylor Swift, which is going to be so much fun. And then we have two shows at the Bellwether in July. And then, you know, the rest of the year is hopefully going to be dedicated to, you know, making new music.
But in the meantime, so you got that tour, as you said, and my wife just caught the one down in Nashville. That was a huge rain, one of the huge rainstorms that Phoebe was
on. Oh yeah, I mean, that looked crazy. I mean, she fucking killed it though.
What's the prep like? I mean, you know, it's an opening gig on one side of things, sure. But is it different because it's fucking Taylor?
Honestly, I'm just looking forward to seeing the show every night. I'm going to play my ass off. And then go to craft services, make a PB&J and watch the show. That's what I mean. We had the best time when we opened for her on the 1989 tour. And we, you know, we jumped at the chance when she asked us if we wanted to do the Eras tour. We jumped at it. And, you know, she's so much fun. She's literally just the best. Just such a fun human being who's always up for it and like works harder than anyone I know, but also just like loves to have fun.
Yeah, I mean, I've just loved watching what she's done musically over the past few years, and your all's collaborations, especially on that last album. Was it Folklore or Evermore that you guys were on?
Evermore.
Yeah, that was it. And that,
yeah, the song where I get murdered.
Sure, right, exactly. Because if you're going to be in a Taylor song, you're going to get murdered.
Yeah. I mean, honestly,
I don't know the basis of your friendship, but I do love that that's part of it.
Well, I think we just both are obsessed with true crime. And so when she asked me if it was okay for me to be murdered in song, honestly, my answer was, I will be so angry if you don't murder me in a song.
One of the great honors to be murdered in someone's
song.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That was my highlight of that year, honestly.
Well, I look forward to all the, you know, photos of your all's nights on the town that always seem to erupt over the internet when that happens. That's the vicarious living we all do for your all's.
I love it.
Adventures. Let's see here. And I'm just trying to hit all the points while I've got you here. Licorice Pizza. Also, I mean, do you plan on doing more acting? Because now with the scoring and you know, music producing as being such a big part of it, do you look for the acting gigs as well? Do you care about that part?
I would love to keep acting if the right part came along, for sure. I mean, I love acting and I love being on set. And that experience was so beautiful, you know, to be able to be in a movie with my sisters and my parents and with Paul. I mean, it was like, it was almost overwhelming. But yeah, I think if the right thing came along and someone wanted to put me in something, yeah, again, you got to say yes.
Yeah. What do you think the right thing looks like? What does that mean in this context?
Problem. It's like that my first experience on in a movie was with Paul Thomas Anderson, so like right. I've sort of shot myself in the foot. But I mean if Paul, I say this to Paul all the time, I'm like, whenever you, I'm here,
right?
The right thing, I think it would have to be a really interesting script and something that, I don't know, speaks to me in some way. And I think when I read it, I'll know.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. Of course, you know, the saying yes part, as you said, is the biggest jump of it. And I don't know. I'm following your career anyway, so I would love to see it.
Oh, man. I mean, your mouth to God's ears. I would love it, too. I think that, again, people that say yes have adventures. And I think that that's what this journey is about, right? Just having as many experiences as you possibly can while we are able to do so.
And I'll quickly, very shortly brag, my son in that context right there starts an internship today on his very first movie set.
Amazing.
And, yeah. And it was me saying, there's an opportunity, you should, you know, do you want to do this? And like, yes, of course. Yes, of course.
Oh,
you
know, my but, God.
But he's yes. very excited about that too. So yeah.
Shit. I would do that. Intern on a movie set. That sounds like so much fun. Dream.
It's a dream. And he's only 15. He's almost 16. He's not, it's oh still in high school. So God. Yeah.
What a sweet baby. That's so sweet. Oh, he's going to have the best time.
I think so. I'm so excited for him. And I'm excited for you all. And I really mean that. I'm not just trying to use that as a seg. I do love what you've done with The Small Light and all the music that you've made so far on this side of it. I selfishly cannot wait for another High Am album.
Oh, man. I'm going to tell my sisters you said that. They're going to be very happy you said that. I can't wait for the next album, too. I'm like, let's fucking go.
Let's do it. Right on. Esty, thank you so much for, taking the time. It's always fun to catch up.
Yeah, and I'll see you on the road, hopefully.
And my thanks to Esty Hyam. The soundtrack for A Small Light is out now. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Please do hit that subscribe button before you get out of here. Again, you do that, I'll give you 3 brand new interviews every single week. A new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to keep you up to date on your favorite artists. And discover the new ones at iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify and Podchaser, NPR, WFBK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. After that, head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's song premieres. We have lots of old favorites. Of course, lots of music news and bonus interviews. In fact, a recent episode included the music of Sonic Youth and Polaris, David Bowie, PJ Harvey, Crowded House, Nico Case, The Pixies, Arlo Parks, Ziggy Marley, Erykah Badu, Lady Blackbird, Girl House, My Morning Jacket, Radiohead, Genesis Owusu, and my interview with A.C. Newman of The New Pornographers. It's just a recent episode. That you hear 6 p.m. every weekday at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. Of course, you can also catch me on the social media spots, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. All 3 of them, the address is at Kyle Meredith. So I do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And future stronger you can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. so let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See Home Club for details.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Very stoked about that.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.